Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and today my guest is Mike Cavalier. Mike is the head of product for a startup company called Brainscape, which is a web and mobile study program that helps you learn things faster. It uses a specific process called confidence-based repetition. And Mike develops, I guess, apps for them, and as I say, is the head of product for that company. We'll put a link to Brainscape by the interview. He's also had some Alexander lessons in New York with a teacher named Mark Josephsberg. We'll put a link to Mark's website. And I think that Mike has a kind of an interesting story to tell about his Alexander lessons in connection with ADHD and learning disabilities. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here, Robert.
Thank you for agreeing to this. Mike, could you begin by just giving our listeners your very short elevator kind of description of the Alexander technique?
Sure. A lot of people ask me about it in general, and what I say to them is that it's a method for retraining the way you use your body in your daily activities. Retraining the way you walk and sit and stand and do anything, pick up items, so that you're using your body more efficiently and in a way that uses less tension than you need to.
Mm-hmm. And I know from talking to you before the interview that your original reason for taking lessons was back pain that you'd been suffering from some time. And of course, the Alexander technique does have a long history and a well-documented history of helping people with back pain. Maybe you could just say a word or two about that before we get into the ADHD and learning disabilities issue.
Sure. So for a while now, my family has a history of medical problems, one of them being problems with the back and problems with our joints and things of that nature. And I had seen many doctors and been to many physical therapists and tried quite a bit to help my back problems. I had, I have a cervical pinched nerve in my neck and some herniated discs back there. And that stuff led to, besides back pain, just electrical shocks up the arms and in the legs and, a host of other discomforts. So whereas the physical therapy I'd done with many physical therapists, and I had some moderate success, and I things got a little bit better, but it wasn't to the point where I felt a lot more comfortable in my own body. It just wasn't sufficient for me. So I naturally sought out alternative means. And one of them that I eventually came across was the Alexander technique. And it definitely was a new way of thinking for me because it's based on habits rather than, whereas with physical therapy, you go to a physical therapist a couple of times a week, you do some exercises, and then you go home. And you get a massage or some electrical stim. This is mindset. The transition is different because you end up having to look at yourself on a regular basis and do these things as a new way of moving, new way of using your body always. So that right away sort of jumped out at me as something that seemed impressive. They weren't trying to sell you like, you can come here twice a week and you'll be better. No, it's a new way of changing your habits for good. And so those things struck that at me. But, as I started to do it, I felt, good things happening in my body. And at the same time, I realized that it had significant effect on sort of the way I paid attention to things as well.
Right. Because, a big aspect of the technique is learning to pay attention to yourself in a constructive way in order that you can make useful changes. And I think one thing we might want to just say before we go any further is that unlike physical therapy, for example, the Alexander technique is not a therapy per se. It's an educational process. It teaches you, as you say, how to start to notice yourself. And teachers don't go around promising specific therapeutic benefits, although often that happens. And in your case, obviously, with the back pain, it helped. Could you say a little about how you began to notice that your work with the Alexander technique was impacting your ADHD and learning disability issues?
Sure. So I forget exactly when it started to happen, as you know, one of the practices in the Alexander technique is, sort of paying attention to what's going on in your jaw and your face and releasing any tension that you may not have realized was there before you started paying attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, something that caught me. I didn't realize that I was clenching my jaw quite often or that it was just more tense than it should be. And during sessions with Mark, quite often I would just because he told me, hey, pay attention to your jaw, reminded me to pay attention to my jaw, I would notice the tension start to drop away because I just wasn't conscious that it was there. This happened all with the muscles in my face and my neck and everywhere. So as I started to practice the Alexander technique more and integrate this into my work life, which a lot of it involves sitting at a computer, I would remind myself to sort of pay attention to what's going on in my body and my facial muscles and such. And by dropping this tension away consciously, it had an effect on paying attention to the other thing I was supposed to be paying attention on, which is work. So while getting tasks done at work, doing computer programming or graphic design or just responding to emails, ADHD people have very much trouble staying on task. They're extremely distractible. Audio distractions, sounds in the background will take them away from what they're doing, or visual distractions, or just mental distractions. If you're an ADHD person and you're trying to write an email, quite often your mind will just switch gears inadvertently and you don't really like it, but you just get pulled away onto something else. So there'll be a lot of half done emails just waiting, not even saved.
There'll
be like, if you look at any typical ADHD person's computer, you'll see dozens of windows open, just so many things going at once, because it's very difficult for them to pick one thing, not get distracted and finish it. So as I was doing more of the Alexander technique, a lot of the things that would distract me that I didn't realize started to drift away. So these muscle tensions in my face and in my neck and all these things going on in the body that, normal people don't always get distracted by, but ADHD people will. These things became less of a problem, significantly less. As an ADHD person, if you're working a lot of times and you're sort of the fidgety type, you might feel something on your body, or you might feel, some sort of physical manifestation of whatever that will sort of take you away from what you're doing. Whereas with the Alexander technique and with meditation in parallel, these things, you let them go consciously, and they kind of distract you less at that point.
Right. So I can see how if those tensions that you had previously experienced were being released over time by using the Alexander technique, which is a pretty standard way of using the technique, that takes away things that might otherwise distract you. But I wonder if also you found that in general, things, say, outside of yourself, you mentioned sounds, music, whatever, that also might distract you, that you're better able to deal with them at this point.
Yes, absolutely.
Because that's kind of a different thing. I mean, one is getting rid of some actual reality-based distractions, but those distractions continue in your life, I'm sure. And the fact that you're better able to deal with them is in some ways, I'd say, even more impressive.
Absolutely. It's tremendous. So as you know, and as I've talked about in my blog post, Mark taught me about the practice of inhibition in the Alexander technique, which is sort of when you see this thing affecting you, be it muscle tension or whatever, giving yourself a moment to not jump and respond to it. And that's something that ADHD people do immeasurably. They're known for being impulsive. One of the biggest, the main symptoms of ADHD are hyperactivity for some, inattentiveness, and impulsivity. So we tend to, whenever we have a stimulus of some sort, we jump to react to it. And the Alexander technique teaches you to just do the opposite, to not react until you thought about it for a second.
Right. And so, and just to clarify for our listeners, the term inhibition as used in the Alexander technique has really no relationship to Freudian inhibition, which is a kind of a repression and seen as a negative thing. Alexander inhibition is really just learning how to say no to something you don't want to do. It's not a repressive act, but a conscious decision on your part. I mean, would you see it that way also? Hello?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Sorry, there was a bit of a lag there.
Yeah. So do you see that? Do you agree with that distinction? I mean, inhibition is not a repressive activity at all.
Not at all.
In the Alexander world. And I think it's kind of interesting that in just listening to your description that, with the Alexander work, you're putting some attention on yourself in a way that you hadn't before. And someone might think that, well, if I'm paying attention to myself, that's one less memory slot, so to speak, available for me to pay attention to things outside of me. But in fact, in your case, and I think it's often the case, it's exactly the opposite. Would you agree with that as well?
I'd say so. I know quite a bit about, cognitive science and the way the brain and the body learn things. Mm-hmm. In the initial stages, when you're learning something new, be it the Alexander technique or, how to dance or, some kind of skill, you're initially using everything with your conscious brain, and you're telling yourself to pay attention to stuff. And in the initial phases, when you're doing that, it's conscious attention. It does take up sort of a slot in your memory or your attention. Mm-hmm. But as you do it more and more, it requires less mental space to do it, because even the act of paying attention, telling yourself to consciously relax and, let go and free the neck and all of these things, it becomes subconscious later on. It starts mm-hmm. to get taken over by the lower stages of the brain, which are more instinctive. As you do the Alexander technique or any other type of skill that you're learning, you don't require as much attention to it after a while. It just becomes second nature.
There anything else that we haven't touched on that you think would be useful for people with ADHD to hear about?
I think we covered most of the gist of it. Impulse control and distractibility are the biggest things. The Alexander technique helps greatly with that stuff.
Mm-hmm. And so I assume then that if you ran into someone with ADHD or the kind of issues you had, you would recommend that they explore the Alexander technique. Is that correct?
I would. I would. For ADHD people, there's a lot of things that they have to try, because, you know, medication doesn't always cut it, and for some people it's not the way they want to address their stuff. So along with several other things, you know, meditation and, you know, things like neurofeedback, technological interventions, I think the Alexander technique can definitely be a part of the ADHD person's arsenal to happiness, you know, to improving themselves.
Okay. Well, this might be a good place to end the interview. My guest today has been Mike Cavalier, who works for Brainscape, which is a startup company that helps people, basically helps people learn things like foreign languages or anything where you need to do a certain amount of memorization. He develops apps for them, and he's the head of product for them. He has a longstanding interest in cognitive science, and anything that we've talked about interests you, Mark lives in New York City, and his teacher is Mark Josephsberg, who's an Alexander teacher in New York. We'll put a link to Mark's site by the interview. We'll also put a link to the Brainscape site, and I do recommend taking a look at that site, and in particular, taking a look at the blog that's attached to it. A lot of neuroscience topics are covered, and in fact, that's where Mike wrote his Alexander Technique blog. So, Mike, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Absolutely, Robert. Thanks again for having me.